Rachel Barton Pine is with me. She's released Blues Dialogue, Music of Black Composers. Rachel, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
So you released a CD, I believe, in 1997 on Cedille of concertos by black composers of the 18th and 19th centuries. How did that evolve into this new CD of blues?
Yeah, so basically after my record, you know, came out, that was, you know, Afro-European and Afro-Caribbean composers from the time of Mozart and Brahms, and I started getting many students and parents and teachers asking me where they could find some repertoire like this for their kids, and it's just not easily available or accessible. A lot of repertoire is in manuscript only, has never been published, or it's been long out of print. And so I had started my RBP foundation for the purpose of young artist support with instrument loans and financial assistance, and I suddenly realized, hey, wait a sec, I have a not-for-profit, and I love music research, and I'm very passionate about music education, and I should do this project. So it's now been 15 years of research. We have collected more than 900 pieces from more than 350 black composers from all around the world, men and women from Africa, Europe, North America, South America, the Caribbean, even a few from Asia and Oceania. And we've just released three educational materials, a coloring book, good for all ages, of the 40 of the most important black composers from throughout history, along with a bio of each, and a timeline poster showing the depth and breadth of black classical music making throughout history, featuring about 300 composers. And then the first volume of our violin series, our curricular books, so this one is for beginners through elementary level violinists, and it not only has the different repertoire, but also history articles about black orchestras of the 1800s, or the fact that Coretta Scott King played the violin, Frederick Douglass played the violin, all in an effort to combat the misperception that this is somebody else's music. And for young African-American students, the idea is to support and encourage, you know, to realize that they could be part of classical music's future by realizing that they're part of classical music's past in a pretty big way, and also to normalize the diversity of repertoire for students of all races and ethnicities, because not only are we featuring black composers, but there's also women composers. There's composers from four centuries, 1700s to the present day. There's art music, not folk music, but art music from five different continents, and you just don't see that in most of our pedagogical materials. And so just collecting this repertoire, certainly, you know, many pieces were things that I wanted to start playing myself and have added to my rotating touring repertoire. And that's sort of how this new album came about, that and the fact that I'm a native Chicagoan and grew up listening to the blues, which I consider to be my second favorite musical genre after classical.
And the CD itself is called Blues Dialogues. So there is such a history of black American music, and particularly blues in the Chicago area. But the styles of music on this album are really quite diverse.
Yeah, that's the most exciting thing to me about this project, is the variety of different voices spanning, first of all, a century from the Clarence Cameron White in the early 20th all the way to the Billy Childs, which was actually written for this album, and then just the different approaches to blending the blues as a building block in classical art music. And of course, this is but a drop in the bucket of the music by black composers that exists in the world, because we think, oh, maybe black composers sound black, and certainly there's a certain amount of repertoire that's inspired by spirituals or blues or jazz, or even these days some awesome, really fun pieces that include hip-hop as an element in the classical music. But there's plenty more music, the majority of music actually, which doesn't betray any ethnic origin at all, other than, well, sometimes like African or Latin American, but not specifically black when it comes to Latin America. And then, you know, music that just sounds like it's the Romantic period or it's the 20th century with minimalism and atonality. So much diversity, and that's just really a treasure trove.
Well, composers throughout the ages have used either ethno-folk music of their own countries or other countries as inspirations, and
exactly.
sometimes you can hear it in the compositions, and sometimes you really can't. You got to work with some living composers for this album. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, Coleridge Taylor Perkinson is one of my all-time favorite composers. I've never heard a piece of his that I didn't absolutely love, and he's, of course, now long since deceased, but I was very lucky to get to work with him at the end of his life. And his Louisiana Blues Strat has become one of my favorite encores. I love playing it after concertos. It's for unaccompanied violin, and it's just a really wild ride. And Billy Childs, I had collaborated previously with him on an unaccompanied partita for violin as part of my Bach Partitas project, and really loved working with him. And he had never written anything for violin and piano, so I invited him to do so. And it's really a very moving and meaningful piece because his piece Incident was inspired by the Philando Castile shooting. And I think it's really in the tradition of, you know, I recently saw Riccardo Muti in the Chicago Symphony perform Bobby Yar. And one of the onuses on us as artists is to shine a light on human atrocity in hopes of helping make a better world. And that's exactly what Billy Childs is doing with this piece. Daniel Bernard Romain is an old friend, a dear friend. He's a violinist, of course. We've performed together, and his music is really very unique. And this is a super cool piece that sort of starts out with a Jimi Hendrix-esque kind of solo and then goes into the main part of the movement, which is using the acoustic violin to imitate sort of distorted, plugged-in electric violin types of sounds. So you get to use a lot of extended technique, and it's really fun.
So he must have been listening to some of your old CDs then, because you do this, and you're familiar with that genre.
Yeah, he does it too, so we're both coming from the same place. If you ever get a chance to check out his string quartet named for Rosa Parks, that's a really gorgeous piece. I mean, I'm really hoping that this album will inspire people to seek out other works by these same composers, because there's so much great stuff waiting to be discovered. Actually, I should mention Clarence Cameron White. He's the opposite of a living composer. He's the earliest composer on this album, long since passed away. But he was active about 100 years ago, and really a virtuoso violinist at the time, but because of discrimination that existed back then, he didn't have very many opportunities within mainstream classical. There were, luckily, you know, a number of African-American classical music societies that presented concerts for just that reason. And so he and his pianist wife, you know, toured a lot, didn't have a lot of orchestras to solo with, but he was, by all accounts, just a first-rate violinist, and under normal circumstances would have made recordings, but he actually didn't make a single one, which is just really tragic. But we have a snapshot of who he was as an artist from his compositions, and what's interesting is that guys like Kreisler and Heifetz actually performed and recorded some of his works. In fact, the piece that I have on my album, Levy Dance, Yasha Heifetz recorded it. And so I wish I could have heard how White himself played his own piece. It's just absolutely great and very fun to learn about the history and where all these pieces came from.
And there's another White on the album, Dolores White, one of the two female composers represented on the album. Was it hard to find work by Black female composers?
Actually, what's interesting is there are so many. In fact, our coloring book of Black composers includes 40 composers, and we didn't particularly set out to include women composers. We just selected who we thought were the most significant figures in history, and it turned out that a full 25%, 10 of the 40, are women, and that was without even trying. So I think, in a way, the interesting thing is that most Black composers have been under-recognized, both the men and the women, so they've sort of been equally under-recognized, and as opposed to White European composers, where many of the men have been celebrated and the women forgotten, and so that's almost in a weird sort of way a harder thing to get those revived, whereas if you're going to do Black music and you do Black music, there are a bunch of women in there, they're ready to go.
Yeah. Rachel Barton Pine has released Blues Dialogues with pianist Matthew Hagel, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me on.